Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And good morning, everybody. For the last few Wednesdays, Giddy Hansen of The Growing Place and I have been speaking about moods, the type of moods we get in, how we get into them, and how we get stuck in them, and how now we get unstuck from them. And Giddy joins us today, and good morning, Giddy.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Let's just do a quick recap without going okay. into too much detail. The four moods, it's a nice little rhyme, so it's easy to remember.
Yes, it's glad, sad, mad, and bad. These yeah. are our common moods. And
all of them, there are good reasons to be all four of those things.
Right.
Legitimate reasons, and then there are bad reasons.
Yeah, there's inappropriate reasons to be that way, and that's where our focus is today.
Okay. And when we left off, we talked about how we get stuck.
Yes, we've gotten stuck in our moods, and now we need to learn how to get unstuck. Mm-hmm. So one way to get unstuck, if you're in a negative mood, say depression or anger or whatever it may be, you can process your emotions alone, with God, with family, or with friends. And that should be your first recourse, is see if you can handle it on your own. Talking, you know, most of us, I hope, have a good friend we can talk mm-hmm. to, a spouse. Hopefully in our prayer lives, we're honest and transparent, and we take our issues to the Lord, including, say, Lord, you know, I have this issue with depression. Mm-hmm. Would you please show me what this is about?
In other words, it's like when you have a cough or a cold, you don't immediately go
exactly.
right to the doctor. You want to see if you can self-diagnose a little bit and see if you can get some home remedies.
And get some home remedies. Mm-hmm. And if you do all that well and good, mm-hmm. you know, through prayer or through whatever. But sometimes, for a number of reasons, people need extra help. Mm-hmm. They've exhausted all those avenues. They still feel stuck. And now it's starting to threaten their everyday functioning.
Okay, so we've talked about this before, when your everyday life is affected, but how long do you try to self-medicate or self-analyze and get help from friends and relatives before you say, I mean, is there a time limit, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks? How long should you feel one of these moods,
Jerry,
before you get help?
That is such a great question. And I would have to say it varies from person to person and issue to issue. Mm-hmm. For example, if a person gets unexpectedly fired from their work mm-hmm. and they have very little savings and they feel like they're free falling, and let's say it wasn't even because they did anything wrong, mm-hmm. but the company was struggling with finances mm-hmm. and cut a number of people from the payroll mm-hmm. and they're free falling, you know, you may want to focus your energy at that point at just finding a new job. Mm-hmm. And focus on that. But at some point, the emotions are going to catch up with you.
Yeah, it does. Is that always like, I mean, at some point, you have to go through somewhat of
a catharsis.
Catharsis or a grieving process, I guess, yes. is what you might call it.
Or even anger or sorrow or grief or loss. Mm-hmm. So that would be one example. Another example is if someone very close to us dies, mm-hmm. we're going to expect grief. Mm-hmm. We're going to expect mourning. Go through that process. Mm-hmm. If at a time when you feel, gosh, I should be getting back to normal and I'm not, that may be the time to seek a counselor.
Okay.
And normal may mean I will always feel this loss for the rest of my life, but it won't stop me from functioning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So people get stuck for a number of reasons. One of the classic reasons is whatever is happening in the present is a trigger of a deeper and bigger issue from the past. Let me give you an example. I like to use the example of the landmine. You know, the landmine is deeply buried underground, but it has some kind of a wire or sensitivity thing that comes up to the surface of the soil. So that when pressure is put on it, it's triggered and the bomb goes off.
Okay.
Now, the trigger is not the bomb. The issue in my life today is not the bomb, but it links me back to that old unresolved stuff And that's the stuff that explodes in my face.
I hear what you're saying, but there must be times where something does go unresolved and it just stays dormant there for. And there might be some people, my parents and when they were alive would say, "Don't stir the you know what, and it won't stink. Just let it sit there."
Yeah,
and that's probably not good advice. You know, you probably should. You're saying what you need to do is say, "Go down there and dig for that, and try to find it."
Once it explodes, you don't have to do any digging.
Right.
It's the debris is all over your life, and I've noticed in the lives of my clients. And these are only the ones I've seen, so I can't make this a universal rule. But most of us learn how to manage or repress or suppress unresolved issues until we hit around middle age.
Mm-hmm. And middle age is what? 42, 45?
It depends on who you're looking at and talking to. It can be anywhere from the mid-30s to 55 or anything in between.
And at some point, you're generally going to have to confront it.
At some point, it presents itself in a way that can no longer be denied.
Mm-hmm.
And then people they have their quote-unquote midlife crisis or whatever, and they feel, whoa, how have I been living? How have I been surviving all these years and not dealing with this issue? I am really unhappy. Mm-hmm. I kept postponing happiness to the future. Well, this is the future. And I can count, maybe I have 20, 30 years left in the planet, maybe longer. Where's the happiness? Where's the joy? That's one kind of midlife crisis. Or when do I get to do what I want to do? That's another kind of midlife.
We're speaking to Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place, which is a professional counseling, life coaching, and education help center. They're located on East Avenue, and their phone number is 588-0448. And we'll be back to talk with Gidi some more about how we get unstuck from negative moods that affect our lives. We come back.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome
up
to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up.
Welcome back to the show. The Growing Place is presenting a series of Courageous Living DVD seminars, which take place on Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the morning until 11:30 in the morning, every Saturday, first and third Saturdays. The next one is slated for July 18th, Saturday, 10 o'clock, July 18th. The topic will be Escaping the Guilt Trap. There are DVD series that are shown at begins at 10 o'clock. Dr. Les Parrott, I believe, if I have his name correct, it will be the DVD speaker, and then there's discussions afterwards for people who attend the seminar. It's at The Growing Place, which is located at 1074 East Avenue, and July 18th, 10 o'clock to 11:30, Escaping the Guilt Trap. And to find out more information from The Growing Place, if you want to learn more about how to escape the guilt trap, 588-0448. Before we get on with our discussion about moods, let me ask Gidi a little bit about this. The guilt trap, in a nutshell, what are we talking about here? If people were to go to this seminar,
I'm not sure exactly what Dr. Parrott is going to present, but when I'm dealing with guilt in clients, there's true guilt, what I call true guilt and false guilt.
Okay.
True guilt is when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit and when we know we've done something wrong, mm-hmm. and it's an indicator and an alarm that goes off to bring us back to the right track.
Okay.
False guilt is where we feel a false obligation to fix something, to heal something, to change something, or when we feel a false guilt because we've been blessed or we've received the answers to our prayers and maybe somebody else hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we carry around all this false guilt that says, I don't deserve this. This really shouldn't be coming to me.
See, now I feel that a lot.
Yeah.
But that's, you're saying that's a negative thing. I view that as maybe it's sort of an appreciation to say, gosh, I have so many blessings. I don't deserve any of these blessings. I don't deserve what I have. I feel that all the time.
There can be an appreciative aspect to it that is good, uh-huh. but there can also be a self-deprecating, self-hatred, self-condemnation and rejection. It says, I'm the scum of the earth. I don't deserve anything.
Uh-huh.
Why has this come to me? And it may not even be conscious.
Okay.
It may be just below the level of consciousness.
Very interesting. July 18th, Escaping the Guilt Trap, Courageous Living DVD series over at the Growing Place at 1074 East Avenue. Saturday, July 18th, 10 o'clock in the morning, 588-0448 to learn more about that seminar on Escaping the Guilt Trap, just an hour and a half seminar. Let's continue our discussion with Gidi about bad moods that we have, negative moods that we have, and where we left off.
Well, I want to talk about now how counseling can help.
Mm-hmm.
This is after we've exhausted all of our own resources,
mm-hmm.
and we realize, I really do need professional help. First of all, counselors are professionally trained people who help people get unstuck from mm-hmm. emotions. That's their job. That's what they've been trained in. And people who go to counselors are not, quote unquote, crazy. I know that's been the mm-hmm. name of our series, Am I Crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no, you're not crazy. You're just human. Most people who go to counselors are everyday people who need extra help.
Mm-hmm.
And good counselors do not judge or condemn you, and they do not gossip. So if you go to a counselor that you feel is scolding you or judging you or putting you down, that's a good sign that you need to find another counselor.
Mm-hmm.
However, to balance that out, if you go to a counselor who just head nods and doesn't hold you accountable for anything and lets you get away with all of your games and your lies, then that's not a good counselor either.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody who compassionately holds you accountable and who truly cares about you.
It would seem to me, when you're a counselor and you have so many different types of personalities that come in, just from your perspective, that must be difficult to always have that type of compassion and sensitivity for everybody's problems that come in. People tell me their problems sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. And that must be a challenging job.
Well, it is actually. And I believe that counselors are gifted by God
mm-hmm.
To be able to do what they do. I believe that about every vocation, not just counseling,
mm-hmm.
and not just vocations in the church or in the ministry. But God gives special gifts to everybody. However, there is something called compassion fatigue. And when counselors begin to get burnout and when they begin to hear too many stories and they're not taking care of themselves, they can experience compassion fatigue.
I wonder if a counselor has too much on his or her plate that you start to get confused with, well, this is Jane said this, and Bill said this, and Lori said that, and now wait a minute, which one was dating the rock star, and which one
yeah.
was which
oh,
one was
that
dating?
Is so beautiful, yeah. Jerry. That's why I do a lot of writing in my sessions.
Yeah.
I know not a lot of counselors do, but you know what? I don't want to carry that information around in my brain.
Right.
So I write it down, and before I meet with a client, I quickly review to remember, and as soon as I read it, of course I remember what the mm-hmm. client has said, but I try not to rely on my memory alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is, we're talking about getting unstuck from inappropriate moods.
Yes, and good counselors listen, care, and help you process your emotions. You know, a lot of people, when they come to counseling, they don't want to do their work. They don't want to do the processing. They just figure, mm-hmm. okay, I'm sitting in the chair. You're supposed to say something, and it's going to make everything better. And
yeah.
I'm going to walk out of this room feeling really, really good.
And you got to do some homework.
And you got to do some work. And we can come back to that.
Yeah, we're talking to Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place about getting unstuck from negative moods that affect our lives. If you're looking for a counselor, The Growing Center has counselors, life coaches. And you can call The Growing Place at 588-0448. If you talk to Gidi Hansen or one of the other counselors, 588-0448. We'll wrap up our chat with Edie after this break.
We've come a long, long way together. Through the hard times.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
I have to praise you like I should.
Welcome back to the show. Speaking with Gidi Hansen from The Growing Place about getting unstuck from negative moods. And we just left off.
Yes, about how counselors give clients specific tools to get them on. Yes, part of it is homework and part of it is work right in the session. Right. And a tool is something that we use. It's not a pill. It's not a potion. Mm-hmm. It's not magic. It's something we have to pick up and use. Mm-hmm. And this can be frustrating for some clients because one of the reasons they got to where they got to is because they don't want to take responsibility for their emotions and they don't want to do the work of changing their emotions. So the counselor has to convince the client this is to your advantage. Otherwise, you're going to continue down the road you're on.
It seems counterintuitive to a lot of people, and maybe I'm speaking for myself, to think that, you know, a lot of times we believe, well, this is how God made me. This is what the way I am. And so just take what I have and let's just kind of mold what I have to make it better as opposed to a complete makeover. Are we talking when we have these things as a complete makeover? In other words, you have this quality, and this quality. We like this quality and this quality, but this quality we just have to just delete and bring in another quality. Or do you try to massage that bad quality and make it a good quality?
That's a great question, Jared. It depends on the situation and the person and what we call the capacity of the client.
Most of the time, what do you find?
Most of the time, I find that at least in my clients, they're willing to, once they're convinced that it's to their advantage, they come to hate whatever negative emotion it is that they're experiencing.
And they want to just extricate it. Just
they
want
to deal with it. And if it's connected to trauma, then it takes quite a while to get through. But the hard part is helping somebody to see the changes to their advantage. Because a lot of people just don't like change of any kind.
But it's understandable, especially when you're talking about something so personal and even private as your own feelings.
Right, but we're not talking about a negation of the person, mm-hmm. a negation of their personhood or their personality. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody's an extrovert, we're not going to try to turn them inside out into an introvert mm-hmm. and vice versa. So we're not talking about a complete makeover. We're talking about what the client says he or she wants to change. Mm-hmm. And not the whole person.
Do there come times when somebody says, I want to change this about myself? And has this happened? And maybe you give me an example where you say, yeah, I don't think you need to change.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. That quality, because sometimes even my son will say, Dad, I want to change this. I don't like what I do. And I'm like, gosh, that's actually one of the best things you've got going for you. Why do you want to change that?
Yeah.
You got a good heart and you're very sweet. And don't change that.
I want to change this from people who have a great deal of empathy and sensitivity.
Uh-huh.
Because they're just tired of feeling all these deep emotions and they just want some time off. And so rather than change that, because I believe that's a God-given gift, we manage it in a way that is more productive.
Okay.
So if somebody has a whole lot of empathy, they may feel it's their job to fix the world. So what we do is we redirect that empathy into more appropriate directions.
Okay, so or perhaps somebody who says, you know, I want to become a priest. Maybe you take that empathy and you say, why don't you go work at a soup kitchen or go do something that is productive as opposed to just sitting here going, gosh, I feel so bad for these people. I feel so bad that this person, you know, lost a limb or this person is starving or whatever. Then take that empathy and use it and view it as a blessing.
That's one way of looking at it. I mean, if I had a young man present himself and say, I want to become a priest, I would ask that person, what is your idea of what a priest is and what he does? And it may be that the person is saying, I want to become a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to become a counselor and not understand the theological end of the priesthood.
Sure, sure.
So we would investigate that.
Yeah, that was just something off the top of my head. And let's continue. I deviated a little bit. I apologize.
Okay. No need to apologize. And counseling is confidential. Mm-hmm. There's four areas where counselors have to report. We're mandated reporters. That's self-harm in terms of suicide. So suicidality, homicidality, elder abuse, and child abuse, we have to report. But in other cases, like Jerry, if you were to tell a counselor that I robbed the Bank of America on Monday and I'm planning a vacation to the Bahamas, that counselor could lose his or her license for turning you in.
Okay, but I don't rob banks on Mondays. I usually rob them on Wednesdays, and I wait for the weekend to go to the Bahamas. Okay, we only have a couple more minutes left in the show. I want to just make sure we kind of go see where we're going to go next week and kind of recap.
I do have a little bit more to describe about, first of all, from what I've talked about, hopefully in the past 5 weeks, including this week, counseling can change a person's life. Mm-hmm. And at The Growing Place, we actually offer more than counseling. We offer counseling, but we also offer life coaching, which would be more along the line of should I become a priest or a social worker? Mm-hmm. It's more goal and future oriented. And we also offer education along the line of the Courageous Living series. The types of counseling we offer are individual, couples, child, adolescent, family, and group. So we have a wide array of programs. We also have different classes that are offered. I lead the Wildflowers group, which is for female survivors of childhood sexual abuse. That's a very specialized group. Mm-hmm. We also have groups about boundaries and groups about codependency. And then a lot of people ask the cost of counseling.
Yes.
And the neat thing about The Growing Place is we have a sliding scale that's based upon the individual's income. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, MFT intern would receive one regular pay, but if the client does not meet that criteria, we would adjust it to the income.
The Growing Place is a growing place. It is a very successful counseling center. We advise anybody who has some issues like to work on those, professional counseling, life coaching, and education. The Growing Place phone number is 588-0448, 588-0448. Edie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So long, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.